Hello, church. Good to be with you. This is Confession of Faith 2021, week 8, Exodus 34, 5 through 7. Thanks for joining again. This is new to you. Confession of Faith is a weekly online ministry meant to be a springboard for your discipleship, for your own personal discipleship, for your home and family discipleship, or in a small group setting, to springboard you into prayer and Bible study. I will pray, read these verses, and then say a little bit about where this falls in Exodus and the significance of, talk a little bit about the significance of this week's confession, which is the confession that God is both merciful and just, okay? God is merciful and just. Father, thank you for your word. Again, we come to you to hear from you in your word by the power of your Spirit. Bless our time together. Show us who you are. Show us your mercy in Christ. Show us your justice and your holiness. And stir us up to faith and to good works in your name. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. All right. Exodus 34, beginning in verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And the hymn is, take a guess if you're in Exodus, you could probably guess who this would be. It is Moses. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Intriguing scene that is set for us here. The Lord proclaims his own name to Moses. Name is significant. The significance of the name of the Lord is this is a revelation of who God is. His name is representative of his character and his nature. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, meaning patient, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, thousands as representative of a great multitude. There's no limit to his love and faithfulness, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, because he's not only merciful, but he's also just. He does not ignore sin. He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And there's a lot to talk about on that last statement about visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation that we simply do not have the time to go into. But suffice to say that the Israelites as a nation were under a covenant of law, L-A-W. And so some of the things that would have applied to them as a nation do not apply when it comes to spiritual things or for those under a covenant of grace, the new covenant in Christ. So for instance, if you are in Christ, there's no punishment that can come upon you either for your own sins or for the sins of your forefathers, but for Israel as a nation, for that people at that time, in their covenant situation, under the law, a covenant of works, there were some things in terms of the judgment that would come to future generations because of their sin. So anyway, but that's not what we're expounding today. Today, just a few things in this passage to highlight, highlighting that God is both merciful and just. I want to put this in the context of Exodus as a whole, which I'll do in just a moment. But before that, there was something I wanted to highlight for us. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. I was trying to make that a different color. Let's see if I can. Yes. Oh, then I lost my other colors. Three different aspects of the same reality. Related but slightly different. Iniquity is getting at the idea of inner corruption. Transgression is specifically violation of God's revealed law. for instance, and centrally the Ten Commandments. And sin is any transgression of God's moral law. All sin is transgression in some way. So these things are related, but you see the pervasiveness of this sin problem. It's inner corruption, it's the transgression of God's revealed law, and then sin in general. Okay, here we go. Let me put it a little bit into context. And then what I'll do is read Exodus 1 through 7, so including 5 through 7, but getting the first part of that chapter. So in Exodus chapters 1 through 14 is the Exodus itself. So if you begin reading Exodus in your devotions, you'll get to chapter 14. The people are redeemed. They're out of Egypt. So 1 through 14 is the Exodus itself. 15 through 18 is a time of testing. The people putting the Lord their God to the test in grumbling, complaining in a sinful way. But it's also the Lord testing them and putting them through trials to expose their lack of faith, but also for true believers there to grow them in their faith. It's a time of great provision, God providing for the people in ways that the people continued to lack faith in God, but he would provide for them. So 1 through 14 is the actual Exodus. 15 through 18 is a time of testing and provision. It begins with a time of celebration for being saved, and then they get right into the grumbling and complaining. 15 through 18, testing and provision. 19 through 24 is the covenant at Mount Sinai. This is where God gives the covenant and enters into the covenant, the law covenant, centered on the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. That's 19 through 24. 25 through 31 is the revealing of the tabernacle and all of the furniture and equipment in the tabernacle, everything they're going to need for the ministry of the priesthood. So 1 through 14, the people are saved. It's the Exodus. 15 through 18 is a time of testing, but great provision. 19 through 24, God enters into this covenant with the people at Mount Sinai. 25 through 31, he reveals and gives the plans for the tabernacle so that they could worship properly and offer sacrifices properly. Chapter 32 is the infamous Golden Calf Rebellion. In chapter 33, Moses intercedes for the people. God had said he will not go with them. Moses begs and pleads, implores God to go with them. And in doing that, one of the things he says to God in verse 18, chapter 33, is, "Please show me your glory." And that's the context of chapter 34. God is answering Moses' prayer to show him his glory. Verse 1, chapter 34. The Lord said to Moses, "Cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first." Remember, because in chapter 32, Moses destroyed the first set of stones in anger at the Golden Calf Rebellion. "I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, the Ten Commandments, which you broke. Be ready by morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain." This is God calling Moses to the top of the mountain. "No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite the mountain." So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord commanded him, and he took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Here you see a supernatural revelation, God revealing himself to Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He's teaching Moses who he is. He's showing Moses his character. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." So he's merciful, he's gracious, he's compassionate, he's patient, he forgives sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. And so that's the last phrase I want to talk about, and quite frankly, I want to talk about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fullness of God revealing his mercy Where did it go? And the fullness of God, revealing his justice, is the cross of Jesus Christ. God does not clear us as guilty sinners. What he does is he removes our guilt in a just way, because Jesus is truly, really a representative for his people. He is qualified to receive the punishment for our sins. He does that willingly. He does that gladly. He does that truly. Our sins are not erased from existence as if they're not a problem at all and God just forgets about them. No, rather Christ bears our sin and bears our guilt and takes our punishment, and that's how we get forgiveness, the atoning sacrifice at Christ. And so in the cross, God maintains his justice and he reveals and expresses the fullness of his mercy. God did not violate his law in order to show us grace. Jesus fulfilled the law, God upholds the law, and he gives us grace. Romans 3, God in Christ is both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. So that's our confession today. God is both merciful and just. He's not one or the other. And both his mercy and his justice are fully, most fully and clearly revealed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for joining. See us on Sunday for Catechism, the Lord's Day, number 9, and also next Monday again for Confession of Faith, week 9. God bless you. Thanks for joining.